shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. In other words, what do we mean by that when we say we know what we're talking about? It means that when we say something, most of the time, we know why we said it. And when we say most of the time, that puts us about 25% higher than every other talk show, because they only know what they're saying about 50% of the time. 50% of the time, they're completely lost, and they don't even know why they got out of bed that morning and why they showed up for work. So, good evening.
That's pretty accurate, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. That was Bud Dickman. Robert, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. My aunt sent over that fried chicken. And
you tell me I'm racist.
Wait a second. His aunt makes this fried chicken, Mavis. She makes that fried chicken with the peanut oil.
Yeah. What do you mean racist?
You talk about coming over with the chicken.
Bud, just because somebody eats chicken and I ask that somebody make me chicken because it was offered doesn't make me a racist.
Yeah, what about his aunt making it? Ain't she racist?
Help my aunt racist, man, because she made chicken.
Look at man, you know, I'm getting sick and tired of the stereotyping around here. I happen to like fried chicken. What's that make me?
You like watermelon?
You better believe I like watermelon. I love it. Love it.
I don't eat watermelon, man, only because if I did, this jackass here would start making jokes.
Well, it's not the most best thing to eat if you're black.
Hey, why don't you shut up, man? How'd we get on this? Chicken. Oh, because I asked Robert how he was doing, and you had to tell me how your aunt's doing.
Well, you asked. Well, you didn't ask me about her.
That's right. I didn't ask you about her. Anyway, welcome to our program, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhenryshow.com, so head on over there, get a backstage pass, and watch as we present our show each and every night here on Phil TV in HD. And we do that every night, and if you have that backstage pass, you can watch us performing the show. Now, the big story here, as I understand it, and this broke as I was making my way home tonight from my second and final workday on Modern Family.
Yay!
Thank you very much. And as I was making my way up that god-awful 405, which was just as packed as a can of sardines, I was looking at my godson, Joe. He was tweeting, because he's a huge Laker fan.
He's a big guy, too, isn't he?
My godson's really tall, because his dad's tall, you know. Anyway, he was tweeting about, he was all excited about something. What the hell is he excited about? The CP3, I don't know the Chris Paul's, I don't know his Twitter handle is CP3.
Yeah, it's CP3, it got another one, too. I forget what it is.
It's Chris Paul.
It is?
Yeah.
Well, in any event, I don't give a damn. But the point is, he was tweeting, he said, oh, he was just jazzing, he was excited, he was, oh, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened, blah, 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 blah. Chris Paul's being traded to the Lakers from the New Orleans Hornets. And then within about 20 minutes, I see this tweet. How will the NBA ever recover from this? This is despicable, just despicable. And, well, what the hell is going on, man? I mean, I even sent him a message saying, now what happened, you know? Well, what happened was simply this. The Lakers had concluded what they thought was a deal to get Chris Paul, one of the outstanding players in the NBA, one of the all-star point, he was all-star point guard with the New Orleans Hornets, and one of the top drawing big-name stars in the NBA. And the LA Lakers had acquired him from the New Orleans Hornets, only to find out within the same half hour, or the same afternoon, I should say, that Commissioner David Stern nullified the trade.
Yeah, well, I don't understand why he did that.
He did it simply because it was not in the best interest of the NBA. Now, I will tell you something. This is not the first time that this has happened in sports. Many people will remember the days of, I believe, Charlie Finley when he owned the Oakland A's. And Charlie Finley was trying to pull the trigger on some big player trade. I don't know whether he was going to get the players or he was going to send players probably to the New York Yankees, but it was going to be a collection of really good ball players from the Oakland A's. And remember, this is at a time in the mid-70s when the A's had just won two consecutive World Series titles. They were a powerhouse club, and they had names like Gene Tennis, and they had names like Reggie Jackson, and they had Blue Moon Odom, and they had Catfish Hunter, and they had some great ball players. at that time, Bowie Kuhn was the commissioner of Major League Baseball, and he said, no. Mm-mm.
Why did he say it?
The very same thing that David Stern said. Or I don't know what words Commissioner Stern used, but it was essentially that this is not a good trade for the game. Now, we've just had a lockout. We've just had a lot of bad blood created between the league, the players, and the fans. We've just concluded the lockout with the promise that big market teams were not going to be getting the lion's share of talent anymore, and they were not going to be getting the lion's share of therefore dollars that the NBA was going to begin to even things out and spread the talent around, only to see this trade between the Lakers and the Hornets and the Houston Rockets figured in it consummated for one of the biggest stars in the game. Chris Paul goes to the Lakers, and here we go again, you know. And I'm a Laker fan.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't you want to do that?
I mean, I want to do it as much as my godson and my friends want to see the Lakers win it, because I'm a Laker fan, folks, only because it's my hometown team. But I also, I don't want to see this kind of thing happening in sports where all you need is a whole lot of money and you can run a ball club like the New Orleans Hornets out of business. I don't think the New Orleans Hornets should exist.
Wow, why not?
I don't think there should be any club in any league so weak financially and with such little fan support that these leagues have to take over the operation of these teams until, you know, very rarely have I ever seen a league take over a team and see that team go on to success financially. One of the instances was the old New York Titans that were taken over by the American Football League and they became the New York Jets. They were bought. But then you have to admit to something. Well, it's New York. I mean, and it's professional football. You got to be able to make it in professional football in New York, especially at a time when pro football was taken off. You got to be some kind of a slob if you can't get a pro football team to be successful in the city of New York. All right. Now, and of course, we have the Dodgers. The Dodgers, in part, operations of the Los Angeles Dodgers taken over by the league. Well, there's no way. There's no way on God's good green earth that a Los Angeles Dodger baseball team is not going to be successful in Los Angeles with the right owner. That's how lousy an owner Frank McCourt was. That's how bad that jackass was. I mean, it's one thing, you know, the O'Malley's get rid of the team. I understand. The economics didn't make sense. They're not the first family to divest themselves of a professional baseball team. The Carpenter family in Philadelphia did it. A great many others did it. We can't afford it anymore. We can't afford these salaries. You crazy? You're going to have to, you know, sell the team to a large company of some kind, a large corporation of some kind. So I get that. They went to Fox. Fox did whatever Fox did. I had no idea. You know, like Fox is really going to care. Like Fox is really going to, let's really put our thinking caps on and really become baseball guys. That wasn't going to happen. But then they turn around and they sell it to this clown. So, while there have been instances where leagues have taken over teams, for the most part, when a league's got to take over a ball club, any kind of a club, any kind of a sports team, and it's in a market like New Orleans. Now, you may think New Orleans is a big city. New Orleans is a significantly large American city, no question. But it is not so large as it can support, apparently, all four major league sports, like, for instance, Chicago, New York, San Francisco, you know the towns. New Orleans has got a professional football team, the New Orleans Saints, that are beloved by everybody in the area, and they've flirted twice with NBA teams, the Jazz that went to Utah, and now the Hornets. And both times, New Orleans has pretty much said, no thanks. So why don't you guys in the NBA figure it out? And you know, I tell you right now, man, the expansion of that league to as many markets, just like hockey, is asinine. Just asinine. And now they got the problems that they got. So I don't blame Stern at all. The trade between the Lakers, the Hornets, and the Rockets had been consummated late Thursday afternoon, about the same time the league owners and players were completing their vote to ratify the new collective bargaining agreement, an agreement that David Stern had repeatedly said would help restore the NBA's competitive balance. League owners had watched last season as some of the game's biggest stars left for larger markets. LeBron James and Chris Bosh joined Dwayne Wade and the Miami Heat. Carmelo Anthony forced the Denver Nuggets to trade him to the New York Knicks. The owners have pushed this, and Stern took it the rest of the way, a league source told Yahoo Sports. In the end, David didn't like that the players were dictating where they wanted to go, like Carmelo had, and he wasn't going to let Chris Paul dictate where he wanted to go. Before Stern intervened, the Lakers had reached an agreement to acquire Paul in a deal that would have cost them Pau Gasol, who played very, very well in the playoffs, Lamar Odom. Leagues, I saw somebody say, hey, Lamar, no Kardashian's going to let you take her out of L.A., so forget it, Jack. Might as well divorce her now. She is not going to move to New Orleans. Under terms of the deal, the Lakers would have sent Gasol to the Rockets. The Hornets would have received Odom, Rockets guards Kevin Martin and Goran Dragic, and forward Luis Scola, league sources said. That's what the Hornets would have gotten that from the Rockets. How much time we got? All right, just one more paragraph here. Demps had informed two of the other finalists. This is the one of the agents. Demps had informed two of the other finalists for Paul on Thursday evening that he had a deal in place for Paul to go to the Lakers. Front office sources said all the players involved in the trade have now been told to report to their teams for the start of training camp on Friday. So you're staying with the Hornets there, Chris, and the rest of you jackasses are staying with whatever team you're with because the deal's off. Because the Stern said so. And these are the owners in the NBA who are looking at the Lakers, and they're looking at the Celtics, and they're looking at the Heat, and they're looking at the Knicks, and they're looking at all these teams that are always getting the you know, the good cheese, man. And they're saying, no, 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 a new day is dawning. Yeah, well, we'll see whether a new day is dawning or not. What you ought to do is take the New Orleans Hornets and stick them in the same garbage can where they should have stuck the Atlanta, whatever the hell they are, Thrashers, and the Phoenix Roadrunners, or whatever they're called. All right, we'll be right back here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Is that a basketball team?
I don't know what that is. It's a bird, the Phoenix Roadrunner. 877-876-PHIL. It's the News and Information Hour on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry
Show. Like a gay man.
Why don't you shut up about that, huh?
What are you talking about?
Everything's gay, gay, gay with you, man. Gay this, gay that.
Dude, you sounded gay.
I was doing some shtick during the commercial break. I was playing Canadian... well, I'll do it for you, okay?
Yeah, go ahead and do it.
All right, I'll do it. I don't care.
Don't do it. You sound gay as a blade.
Will you shut up with the gay, 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 all this, okay? We're trying to move into the 21st century without some lunkhead like you. Anyway, I was doing some goofy shtick with an Andy Williams song, Canadian Sunset. Here it is. And I was playing like I was a, you know, one of those middle-of-the-road disc jockeys from my ute. And this is Andy Williams, and this is Johnny Magnus. There used to be a guy here in L.A., Johnny Magnus. I'm Johnny Magnus, your host for the most, and this is Andy Williams. And he talked like this, you know.
How come he talk like that?
Because that's the way those guys talked in those days, you know. You came. And anyway, and then I found out he was from Germany. Seriously, Johnny Magnus was born in Germany.
That's why he talked like a retard. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
Every freaking day, man, with you, bud. See, you just took me out of the mood now.
I didn't mean to say it.
You're an idiot, man. How many times people got to tell you that?
Retard or gay. Maybe I think that's what you are.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back to the show, 877-876-PHIL. It's our news and information hour. So there, we bummed you out about the Lakers or the Hornets or whatever the hell. Who cares? The Lakers will do whatever they're going to do, and the NBA will do what it's going to do. But, you know, they're the very interesting thing that, you know, and then I'll move on. Believe me, I will move on. I don't want to talk about this all night, but... Like every other business, it seems, there isn't any thinking when it comes to the future and what the business is going to be able to sustain. What kind of operating capital are they going to need to continue to operate at a certain level? And I don't know. Call me crazy. But, you know, in my business, I'll give an example, folks. I have to keep enough money in my corporate account so that if, for whatever reason, if our business, our website, for instance, excuse me, our radio show, for whatever reason, if we went south tomorrow, if we couldn't operate, if my business went out of business, I have to have enough money in my corporate accounts to pay my vendors, to pay everybody that I owe money to, including all of the subscribers on our website. Excuse me.
Here, have some of this.
Thank you, bud. It's the coffee that I bought. So I have to keep that, and that's a significant amount of money. Now, what a lot of these companies do is they do the following thing. They say, well, if we keep growing at this rate, we won't need to keep all that money. Let's go ahead and start using some of that money as capital, as operating capital. You know, maybe we'll use some of that money to pay salaries. Maybe we'll use some of that money. The next thing you know, they're on a shoestring because they've started to dip in what was a very healthy reserve that was designed to be there for one reason and one reason only, and that's to make sure that they remain solvent, that they pay their bills, that they pay the vendors and creditors, and that they are that they're a solvent entity. But these companies don't do that. They figure that they're going to be milking the milk and honey, and they're going to be going to get the golden egg from the golden goose for weeks and months and years and decades to come. It never occurs to them that business is going to go south. What is the story here? How many basketball teams does Charlotte need? I don't understand this. They lose the Hornets, they get the Bobcats. The New Orleans Jazz go to Utah. They get I don't understand how many teams. These are not, with all due respect, Charlotte is a great place, and they got there. It's a hell of a football market, I'll tell you that. They love those Panthers. But how many basketball teams do they need? What is the need that the NBA has? I understand that college basketball is very big in North Carolina. What's that got to do with pro basketball? Nothing. And you take it over to the National Football League, which is generally much smarter than the other three sports in analyzing where they should be doing business and what it'll take to be a success in any individual market. The NFL is generally really good, much, much better than the other sports. They control their growth. And I have to say, and I don't know whether I just don't know where I stand on this. They sure have beat the crap out of their union, the players' union. You know, that for whatever reason, the NFL Players Union is just, it just doesn't, you know, they just don't have the pull the other unions have. You look at what the money that the National Football League makes is unfreaking believable, and you look at the players' deal, which is a good deal, but by God, by comparison to the other sports, it doesn't seem like it's as good a deal for those players as what the other players are getting in the other sports. So then you look at the markets they're in. Now, what is this story? Jacksonville's going to lose the Jaguars?
Yeah, that's what I heard about. The Jacksonville Jaguars was going to come to L.A., but now probably not.
Well, they're not going to lose them because that Khan dude bought them, you know?
Yeah, that guy, man, he's a Pakistan guy or something.
Yeah, well, but he came to America when he was 16, and he made his money in the auto body business. And he bought a company that he worked for at one time. It's a very, very interesting story. You talk about an American success story. This guy is it. He went to work while he was in college for a company, I think it's called Flex Fender or Flex Bumper, something like that.
What's that?
It's a company that deals with the repair of automobiles with bumpers, fenders. They've got some kind of an innovative product that they use, that they sell. So he went to work for these guys, and then 10 years later, he buys the company and made a fortune and now wants to buy the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, this guy is from Illinois, Speculation is the guy would move the ball club. They thought to Chicago, but the Bears have a have an iron hold on that market. They'd have to pay the Chicago Bears more money than God to for territorial rights to Chicago.
I don't understand. What do you mean they got to pay? What does that mean?
If they want to play in the National Football League, it's like being in an organized crime almost. It's not really. I shouldn't say that, but if they want to play in the National Football League and they want to play in Chicago, they got to deal with the Chicago Bears. The Bears own the territorial rights to Chicago. Ain't going to happen. That means they got to stay in Jacksonville or they got to go somewhere else, and that somewhere else ain't L.A. So we'll see. We'll be back here, world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. It is our news and information hour, though. We usually don't take phone calls. We love you.
Phil. Yeah, we'll take some phone calls later.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico each and every night, including Saturday night. We have our video cast on Saturday nights. And a reminder that this Sunday we return to Football Sunday with Phil, and we'll do the second game, the late game, bud.
Yeah, that means either the 4 o'clock game or the night game. On NBC.
Right. And we'll do our, you know, which generally is just us hanging and commenting on the football game that's on. So it'll either be the late game, which out here on the Pacific Coast is the 1 o'clock game. Back east, it's 4 o'clock. So, you know, Mountain and Central Time, you adjust for that. And or we will do the evening game. So Football Sunday returning on Sunday. And other notes, news to note, Bobby Dooley's blog is now a daily. It's the Daily Bobby. So check out the Daily Bobby at philhenryshow.com. Ted Bell has a new blog, which is chronicles his arrest at Occupy LA. It's called My Occupy LA Arrest by Me, Ted Bell. So check it out. One more note on the Chris Paul trade that was and then wasn't. The league was put in a tough situation with the Paul to Lakers trade. This is a comment, I believe, on... what website is this? NBA.com. Oh, well, I'm sure this is really objective.
What do you mean?
Well, Robert, if you're going to pull me a story on this, do you have to get it from NBA.com?
That's the most authoritative one.
Yeah, but they're going to be...
Shut up, man. I'm not talking to you.
You don't have to tell him to shut up. He's just... What I'm saying is, it's biased.
Why?
It's the NBA. Anyway, let me just read it here. It had to be a first of professional sports team, a trade that everyone agreed was in the best interest of all involved except the owner of the New Orleans Hornets. What happens to be the league itself, which was in the terrible position of dictating the direction of a franchise that, as we see now, desperately needs to be sold. The New Orleans Hornets need to be dumped. The New Orleans Hornets need to be disbanded. The New Orleans Hornets need to go out of business. Do you understand? If you want to sell them... and move them to another market. Move them to a market where you've done your due diligence and research, and you know for a fact that you've got a professional basketball clientele, an audience, a market, a consumer, okay? I don't know what the NBA does when it does market research, but I'm telling you, they've dropped the ball twice, if you'll pardon the pun, in New Orleans. That's the second time now they've gone to New Orleans, and it's come up nothing but weeds, Jack. All right, so the other piece of news today that had me so pissed off, I thought I might start opening up on people myself. I'm sorry, I shouldn't put it that way, but a routine traffic stop at Virginia Tech turned violent Thursday, leaving a police officer and his assailant dead and the campus on lockdown, a scenario reminiscent of the 2007 massacre that claimed 33 lives and redefined how universities respond to emergencies. By the way, it always bothers me when I hear about a police officer being killed, when I hear about people being killed, and then the gunman is killed by either suicide or the police kill him. For whatever reason, it bothers me when they mention the death of that scumbag in the same line with everybody else. You know, 33 people are dead, including the gunman. Now, I understand that that's the way to report it, but that just jumped out at me and made me sick to my stomach when it said a routine traffic leaving a police officer and his assailant dead. Well, it leaves the police officer dead. It leaves the police officer dead. A routine traffic stop at Virginia Tech turned violent, leaving a police officer dead. His assailant got killed, too. What do you mean leaves? What is that supposed to be, leaving the assailant? Like the assailant was the passive, a passive recipient of this violence, like the police officer? Is it? Am I? Do you think I'm? No, I'm not. No, I'm not at all. I'm tired of the way news is reported. I'm getting sick and tired. I'm tired of it, man. You know, it already's got me pissed off enough, and I'm getting sick and tired of having to read writers, journalists, whatever you want to call them, who don't even know what being a journalist is anymore. Everybody's writing editorials now. Everybody's writing an editorial now. Everybody's doing an opinion piece.
I don't get it. What do you mean?
What do I mean? I just think that sentence, I think that is one of those de facto lazy reporter sentences. Yes, there was violence on the Virginia Tech campus, leaving a police officer and his assailant dead. Look, when you say that an event happened leaving people dead, generally what you mean is those people were innocent recipients of some violence perpetrated by someone or something else. In this instance, the scumbag. This guy who attacked a police officer. The violence didn't leave this piece of garbage dead. This guy is the one that left the cop dead. The mayhem in Blacksburg began at 12:15 when a Virginia Tech patrol officer stopped a driver at the university's Coliseum parking lot. Someone, not the person who was pulled over, walked up to the officer and shot him. The shooter then ran. Virginia Tech police identified the slain officer as Derek W. Krause, age 39, a member of the force for 4 years. His body was found in a sprawling parking lot near the Virginia Tech stadium. The gunman and a weapon were found in another parking lot nearby. Law enforcement and government officials made that statement. Authorities say they think the gunman killed himself as police closed in. This is what I'm... What do you mean leaving him dead? This piece of garbage shot that cop, ran, and then shot himself. The police officer was left dead. He stops somebody, traffic violation. He's doing his job. He gets out. He walks up to the car. Someone walks up and murders him, commits cold-blooded murder. Left that police officer dead. Now that piece of crap runs to a parking garage and kills himself. And I'm sure in the days to come, we're going to find out his name, and we're going to find out what he ate for breakfast, and we're going to find out how many dumps he took a day, and we're going to find out we're going to find out how many pets he had, and
we'll probably find out what breakfast cereal he ate.
Yeah, probably want to sell more of it.
Then we're going to find out about all of the stuff about the gunman. And then we're going to hear people say, what happened? How did we lose Joe Blow or whatever this scumbag's name is? What happened in his life? Where did he go wrong? You know, and then we know where he went wrong. He's got wiring that's gone. He had an environment that was probably wrong. This guy went bad when he was 6 or when he bounced his head off of a parking garage floor. I mean, some of these guys are made when they get a head injury. We got a lot of information now, folks, on how these psychos are made. Got a lot of information. That's the good news. The bad news is, in the next 48 hours to 72 hours, we're going to have to find out all about this guy. And his parents will be interviewed. Like that. Like we're going to find out anything there. Remember that guy that shot Congresswoman Giffords and killed those people in Arizona?
Yeah.
Well, they went and they found the parents, and they interviewed the parents, and we found out the parents are a couple of pathetic turds, and they don't know anything, and they're just a couple of real pathetic weird asses that live in some dump. And that was it, you know. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Just a couple of weirdos. The neighbors think they're creeps. They don't have any real contact with human beings. It's a real weird scene. Naturally, they got some kid that's a wreck. What are you going to do? You can't arrest somebody for being strange. You can't arrest somebody for being antisocial. You know, and I don't mind antisocial people. Don't mind it at all. Don't mind it if somebody wants to be left alone. I think it's entirely understandable, to be perfectly honest with you, living in the world that we live in. It's entirely understandable if someone says, you know what, don't bother me, man. You know, I go to work, I come home, I watch TV. That's my life. You don't like it? That's tough. Stick it. That's how I live. I don't mind that at all. Guy's got a right to live that way. What I don't like is when people like that make kids, and then the kid goes out and does something. Now you're going to have to talk to somebody whether you like it or not. And I'm not saying those are the only parents that are irresponsible, but I'm just using that Laufner turd as an example. Oh, we're going to find out who the parents are. We're going to find out where he went to school. We must find out where he went to school. Where did he go to high school? Let's interview the junior high teachers. Let's interview the kindergarten teacher. Interview anybody you can. His best friend, his girlfriend, his lack of girlfriends. Some of the art that he made when he was in junior high. Some of the spaceships and moon men that he drew for his mommy when he was in kindergarten. Let's check those out. Let's find out what kind of coffee he drank, how much booze. Was he a drug user? He must have been a drug user, if not. And let's just dig through all this stuff. And the average person, the average consumer of the news, doesn't understand any better than he did when the event happened, why it happened. See, we take it upon ourselves. We must take it upon ourselves to learn, because no one any longer, folks, is just going to lay it out there for us. It just doesn't exist. You know, there isn't a, you know, they can't say, here is how it all happened, starting A to Z. We have to figure it out ourselves. And with the reporting that we have these days, no, you're on your own, man. And frankly, you want to know something? I'm happy that it's like that. I'm glad. I'd rather be responsible for my own education when it comes to news, the events of the day, than have to rely on some bozo at the, you know, at the Daily Blab or the Tucson Bugle or whatever the hell they got. The episode provided the first real test of Virginia Tech's vaunted emergency response system created after the mass shooting by a Sung Hui Cho, a disturbed English major from Fairfax County. That guy was the scum of the earth, wasn't he? Now, that guy, I don't remember whether he was actively psychotic. Was he hearing voices, or was he just a really warped guy? Because this is a guy that didn't talk to anybody, you know?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about that Sung Fui clown, that guy.
Oh, that Virginia Tech guy. Oh.
Yeah. Now, that guy didn't talk to anybody. He didn't have relations with anybody. He didn't have, there's nothing, man. And yet, when you see the videotapes that he made, the cat's like this. You made me do this. You drove me to it.
Yeah, I remember that.
You, the way that you ignored me. And you know, what are you talking about, man? So in other words, nobody talked to you. And that means, A, you were driven to violence. B, it's all somebody else's fault. Which, of course, no, it wasn't. It was your fault, man. And all the little elves that are running around in your head.
Yeah, I remember that guy's all like, you made me do this. Now you will pay the price.
Shut up, man. You're making fun of a dead man.
I don't care. He's a dead scumbag.
Well, yes, you're right. So anyway, that was a brutal thing. Thursday's response, a barrage of text messages, emails, phone calls, classroom alerts, and audible sirens across the 30,000-student campus was nearly flawless, according to students, staff members, and public officials. The plan played a very significant role in protecting all the students and the faculty, and also to help facilitate a rapid and proper response by law enforcement officers, said Robert F. McDonnell, the governor of the state of Virginia. The first report of shots came at 12:36 minutes after the shooting and advised of gunshots in the school's Coliseum parking lot in the southern section of campus devoted to athletics. It told the community, stay inside, secure doors. So Virginia Tech now knows that their emergency response is a good system, and that's good. You know, and a police officer is dead, complete without any reason whatsoever, and the gunman went and blew his own brains. I mean, why these people don't just kill themselves without having to take somebody with them is part of the ego of these individuals. These are complete, well, they're not even narcissistic. They're psychopaths, which means there's not a conscience, man. They couldn't tell you what a conscience was, man, any better than they could tell you whether there's life on other planets. So let's go kill somebody. That's the big grandiose statement. Now I'm going to kill myself, because all the way to the bitter end, I'm going to control. I control. You don't control anything. I just took a man's life, a cop, because he's a symbol of something I hate. And because I have no conscience, I can walk right up and kill him. And then you're not even going to get to capture me, and you can't try me, and you can't judge me, and you're not going to parade me like an animal. I'm going to control that too. Watch this. Bang. Kills himself. Now, here's one thing that you could do.
What?
so that these psychos, who kill people, they think that they're controlling it all the way to the bitter end, right?
Yeah.
And they think that they're going to kill themselves so they will not be paraded and put on display and made to look foolish at a trial.
Right.
Well, what you could do is take the picture of that guy's face after he blew his brains out and put that on the front page of the paper so that the next psycho that thinks about doing that realizes that his kisser's going to be on the front page of the paper with half of his face blown off. What do you think about that?
That man, they'll never let you do that, man. They ain't going to do that.
Yeah, they wouldn't allow that.
I know they wouldn't allow it, but that would be a that would say to the psycho, guess what, man? You go right ahead, you kill a cop, you kill people, then you go take your own life thinking that you're going to control your image. Well, here's your image, man. Your kisser on the front page of the paper with your ugly-ass face blown off. Here's what he looks like. I don't know. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Sorry to lay all this bummer stuff on you. I mean, I had to get to it, you know.
It's a big story.
Right, all right. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, closing out the show here this evening. We'll try to find some uplifting, some sort of fun news to do, you know.
Truth we'll is right our back. Bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Yeah. Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back here, world famous Phil Hendry Show. I found out the name of the guy, Robert and Bud. His name, and forgive me, folks, I was getting the man's name wrong. The guy that purchased the Jacksonville Jaguars is Shahid Khan.
Well, what's the name of that company?
The name of the company is Flexengate. Flexengate. And it is a company that deals in auto body repair, and it's a company that he went to work for as a young man, and then he eventually bought it. He's worth a lot of money. This man, Mr. Khan, he's 61 or 62 years old, and let's see what else. Oh, and he bought the Jaguars for $760 million. It's approaching. We're getting upwards of a. it's a lot of money, man. You know, let's face it. A lot of money. All right. NASA has hauled back loads of rocks and dust from the moon, but apparently hasn't kept good track of those samples. Here on Earth, the space agency has lost or misplaced more than 500 pieces of the lunar rocks and other space samples, according to NASA's Inspector General, making the case for better inventory controls. How about that, huh?
What is it, rocks?
It's moon rocks. Moon rocks. Rocks from the moon. So, potentially very, very valuable. Astronauts on the Apollo moon landings from the years 1969 to 1972 returned 842 pounds of lunar rock and soil to Earth. The space agency now loans samples along with meteorite and comet dust to about 377 researchers worldwide. The space agency now lists 517 moon rock samples as missing or stolen.
I think it's weird they keep track of that many.
What do you mean?
Well, how do they know how many rocks is gone? I mean, you're going to count up all the rocks?
Yeah, they'll count the rocks and everything, probably not the dirt. You say they got some dirt too, huh?
Yeah, well, Earth, it's called moon soil. Yeah, dirt, if you want. Moon dust. You guys didn't see, did you see the moon landing? You probably didn't see the moon landing when they landed on the moon, but it's like dust. It's just like fine dust. It's almost like ash. However, the Inspector General audit, this is the NASA Inspector General audit, suggests much more is missing based on inquiries to a sample of 59 scholars. These are guys that were loaned moon rocks, comet dust, or meteorites. The audit found 19% could not locate all their samples. Well, you lousy.
Yeah, man, they'll sweat them down.
What do you mean?
Get them doctors in there and sweat them down.
Get the doctors in and sweat them. What are you going to do? Get some poor Caltech nerd in there? Okay, where is it?
Yeah, that'd be bitching.
Where is it, man? Come on. Well, I don't know. I just...
Come on! You hurt me. That'd be bad. I'd love to tell him, what'd you do with the rock? If you don't tell me, I'm going to kick you in the testicles.
Get out of here, will you?
God! Man, what are you going to do, man? Like the Gestapo?
Yeah.
I'm sure. If you don't tell me, I'm kicking you in the testicles. In any event, It isn't a new problem, according to NASA's Administrator Thomas Paine. He threatened waving heavy cudgels at researchers who lost samples in a 1970 congressional hearing. Huh? Anyway, the latest audit suggests, this was the NASA administrator in 1970. He waved heavy cudgels at researchers who lost samples. I don't know. The latest audit suggests professors remain absent-minded with moon rocks. Records were inaccurate. Researchers could not account for all the samples loaned to them. And researchers held samples for extended periods without performing research.
Probably just got out, looked at, and played with it.
Yeah, I mean, why are you giving them the rocks? Why? You must have rocks in your head. You must have moon rocks in your head.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry, as well as Dan Northcraft and our good friend Fred Scotty. And don't forget, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, of course, is online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. So head on over there for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. We've got, of course, the hoodies, and those are in stock right now. So head on over to our website and get the hoodies there at the Phil Hendry Show shop. We will see you guys tonight, same time, same place. Enjoy it. Thank you. God bless. All that.
Phil Hendry.